young man from a good family somehow went wrong. Over a period of years, he managed to embarrass his parents and disappoint everybody who loved him. Not once, not twice, but again and again and again. Finally, after a brush with the law, he disappeared without a trace. For more than 2 years, his parents had no idea where he was or whether he was still alive. Late one blustery autumn afternoon, the doorbell rang, and when the husband opened the door, a startled father looked into the eyes of his long-lost son. Down the block stood another home. Within its walls, a young couple found themselves in their first major crisis. What began as a simple disagreement escalated into a major confrontation. Accusations had been exchanged. Harsh words had been used as weapons until she stormed out of the room in wordless rage and grief. Now she laid across the bed in a darkened room alone with her tears. Unexpectedly, a shaft of light broke the darkness, and she sat up to discover her husband standing in the hallway with an uncertain look on his face. And right across the street from them, a situation of another sort was brewing. A bright seventh grade girl paced her room and tried to decide what to do. For as long as she could remember, her parents had talked to her about how important it was to do well at school. They had preached to her about, this is the secret to the future. This is how you make your way. You've got to be outstanding in every way. They'd expected her very best, and she had delivered it. Her grades up to that point had been A's with just a sprinkling of B's every now and then. But now she was holding her latest report card. And there it was in the midst of all of those A's, a D in math. A D. She'd never done anything like that. She was disappointed in herself, but more than that, she was disappointed for her parents. She felt like she had failed them in the one area they had always said was most important. She took a deep breath, walked into the den, and handed the card to her mother, who looked down at the grades, then slowly back at her daughter. Three homes, three situations, all with one thread in common. The next thing that's done will make all the difference. What do you say to your long-lost son? What do you do when there's been such an argument? How do you respond to that grade that you never saw coming? There are moments in every life, in every home, where nothing matters more than the next thing we do. We can hurt or we can heal. We can break down or we can restore. But whatever we do will never be forgotten. There are those times when you find yourself in situations and places where you recognize whatever happens next, it's going to change everything from this point on. And you know that's true because you look back over your own life and you can remember specific times when what somebody said or what somebody did changed the very direction of your life. For some, you look back on those memories and they are very good memories, those times when you were so sure everything was going to fall apart, but somebody made it right again. For others, they are very bad memories. Of those times when somebody responded to you in such a way that it broke you in pieces. And it took years to get over it. In fact, maybe you haven't gotten over it yet. For most, there's a mixture of the two. Nobody understands the power of a moment more than the Lord. And that's why His Word gives us very clear instructions in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, when it says, redeem the time. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Taking those opportunities, those moments, those crisis situations, those choices, those decisions, and making sure that you respond to them in a way that honors God and blesses other people. Redeeming the time means treating every opportunity, every relationship, every decision as something of great value. It means making sure that your words are tools in the hands of the Lord to build up and not to tear down. Making sure that your actions are those that God can use to rebuild and not to destroy. It means deciding to use your days to reveal the presence of Jesus in your life. Redeeming the time is a crucial choice for every believer to make. So this morning I want to talk to you about how you can redeem the time and why you should redeem the time. And when those times come, when those decisions have to be made, when those words have to be spoken, that you do what God would have you do at the right time, in the right way, in the name of Jesus. So let's look at what the Bible says. The first thing it tells us is this. It says, redeem the time because life is an investment. Life is an investment. You are doing something with the life that you have been given. You are doing something with the situations that stay there in front of you. You are doing something with words that need to be spoken. All of us have the privilege of making a lot of choices in our life. Where we will live, who we will love, what we will do for a living, how we will live out our days, what will be the values, what's going to be important, what will we focus on. We make choices every day. But there's one choice that none of us get to make. None of us are able to choose the length of the lives we are given. Not one of us knows how long we will walk on the face of this earth. Whether it will be a short amount of time, whether it will be a long amount of time. Instead, we choose what we do with that life. Let me ask you a good what if this morning. What if this morning, every day, your bank credited your bank account with $86,400 for you to spend? $86,400 every day of your life. And you can spend it any way you want to. You can use it for good. You can use it for bad. You can use it for yourself. You can use it for others. Every day, you get $86,400. What would you do? Well, I'm not sure what you would do, but this is what I know. You do your best to use it all, because the only condition is, at the end of the day, whatever's left of that $86,000, it goes away. Every day it's refilled, but at the end of the day, what you haven't used goes away. Guess what? You've been given exactly that kind of blessing. But rather than dollars, you're given 86,400 seconds every day of your life. And every day of your life, you decide, how am I going to use the time that's been given me today? And every night at midnight, whatever you didn't use, you lose. Every day at midnight, whatever you didn't invest is taken away from you again. Because life is an investment. Every day you're given this amount of time, and every day you have to decide what to do with it. But at the end of the day, whatever is not used is gone. I heard someone say time is life's only truly non-renewable resource. And there are three ways that each of us can make use of the time we're given. One thing you can do is this. You can waste your life. You can waste your life on worthless causes and second-class commitments. You can waste your time on good intentions that never saw fruit. You can waste your time by getting around to things. Most of the time, that's what happens with wasted time. Wasted time is, I'm going to get around to it one day, just not right now. I'll get around to it in a minute, just not right now. When my kids were teenagers, one of the things I remember about them is you could ask them to do things. Can you clean your room? Can you take out the trash? Can you help in the yard? Can you do something? And never one time did my children say, no, I won't do that. I can't do that. You know what they would say? What? In just a little bit. In just a little bit, I'll get around to it. And somehow the end of the day would come. And guess what? Those clothes are still on the floor. That trash is still in the can. Nobody ever showed up outside to help me do what I was doing. I was going to get around to it. I just never. That's my first amen. You just waste your time. And at the end of the day, you look around and you say, what did I do with this day? And you really can't think of anything that really matters. You can waste your time. The second thing you can do is you can use your time. You can commit it to productive activities that need to be done. But here's the thing about using your time. Usually when you're using your time, you're doing things that you don't think a whole lot about. You're not thinking about what you're doing with that time. For instance, when I use my time, I take out the trash. When I use my time, I help do the dishes. When I use my time, I do something productive. It needs to be done, but it's not really something where I occupy my mind. I never sit down when I'm using my time and think, boy, this just makes me feel so fulfilled. This makes me feel like I have so accomplished something. You're just doing things. But then again, the third thing you can do is you can invest your time. You make deliberate decisions about what is most important. You think about how you can affect the lives of other people. You strive to be a responsible steward. You know, that's a phrase that we use a lot in church, stewardship. And most of the time you think stewardship is code word for one thing, money. Oh, we're going to talk about money today because he just said stewardship. And stewardship of what God gives you, those financial abilities, that's an important thing. But so is the stewardship of your days, the stewardship of your time. And at the end of the day, to think, how have I invested in others? How have I made a difference in somebody's life? How have I shown a Christ to other people? How have I invested my time? You can waste your time, you can use your time, you can invest your time, but there's one thing nobody gets to do, but you can't save your time. You can't set it aside and say, I'll use it at another time. Because when it's gone, it's gone. God calls you to use your hours and your days for things that matter most. And those things always lead to Christ. When you invest your life in the kingdom of God, you're investing in the one place where the Bible says, moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. What do I need to do? I need to use my life for the kingdom. I need to use my life to make a kingdom difference. I need to represent Jesus and who I am and what I do and how I live and who I talk to and how I talk to them and what I say and in what happens next in my life. I need to make sure that I am using my life for God's kingdom purposes. And if I am not, then whatever else I'm doing, it's not the best thing that I could be doing. The old poem really is true. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And as I redeem the time and as I think about investing my life, what I really need to think about is, what am I doing that has eternal value? What am I doing that will last forever? What am I saying that will make a difference for Jesus? Redeem the time. Invest your life. And then the second thing the Bible says is this. It says, redeem the time, because choices can only be made once. Once you respond, once you react, once you act, once you speak, you've done whatever it is you're going to do. Words are miraculous things. They can bring comfort and encouragement. They can bring destruction and despair. They can bring about hope. They can bring about bitterness. You must be careful how you use your words, because you only get one opportunity to decide. And you alone decide whether what you say will be a blessing or a curse in someone else's life. Love a story I heard about a man who heard a damaging rumor about one of his co-workers in the building where he worked every day. It was just one of those juicy kinds of things that you need to share. And so he spread it all around the building. And then he discovered it was never true. What he'd been telling everybody, it never happened. And now he had to live with the fact that he had damaged somebody's reputation who had never done anything wrong and never done anything to him. He felt so bad about it that he went to talk to his pastor, and he said, "What can I do to make it right? I didn't mean to say all of those things. They just kind of came out, and now I've really hurt somebody. How can I fix it?" His pastor didn't say a word. He just picked up a pillow from his office couch. They walked outside, and he took out a pocket knife, and he slit the pillow down the front. Then he shook the feathers out to the wind. And he said to the man, "If you want to make things right, go pick up all those feathers and put them back in this pillow." The man said, "That's impossible. I'll never be able to do that again." His pastor said, "And it's also impossible to take back the effects of what you said." That's why the Bible says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Redeem the time. And if that applies to our words, it also applies to our actions and our attitudes. When you know you only have one chance to choose what you say or do, it's important to know, I made the right decision. The choice that makes your wife feel loved and appreciated. The choice that makes your husband feel honored. The choice that makes your children feel treasured. Make the choice that expresses the love of Christ to the people around you. The most important choice is the decision that we celebrated this morning that puts you into an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. That choice that when you hear Him call, says yes. You only make that choice once, but there is absolutely no more important decision you could possibly make. And then the Bible tells us we are to redeem the time because all that really matters is God and people. Sometimes you have to decide what really matters to you. A few weeks ago, we were watching the reports about the wildfires out in California, the thousands of houses that were destroyed, how that fire was sweeping through subdivisions at unbelievable speeds. I heard people describe how they were told they had to get out quickly before their homes were consumed. Imagine having just a few minutes to look around your home and all your prized possessions, and having to decide almost instantly, what will I take with me? What am I going to save? Do you take those prized antiques or the family photos? Which matters most, the things of great price or the things with sentimental value? Those are hard decisions. There's one choice nobody would ever struggle with. There would be no choice if somebody said, you can either save your things or you can save your family. You always protect the people. And the only things that last forever are the Lord and His Word and people. Everything else comes and goes. I think I've shared before what I've heard and what I believe, which is anything you can hold in your hands, one of two things is going to happen. Either it's going to leave you or you're going to leave it, but you can't hold on to it forever. The only things that last forever are God and people. So we need to live as though the Lord and the people He gives us are the most important things of all. And that's the true measure of how you live your life. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, nothing else matters. If you don't have your life right with Him, then it really doesn't matter how you invest your time, your days. It doesn't matter what the words are, what the actions are, because in the end, only one thing controls eternity, and that is your relationship with Christ. And nothing else matters. And if you don't have the love and respect of the people who know you, then your life has been wasted. If at the end of your days you can say, what do I have to account for my days? And all you can point to are the things that you can hold or what you have stored away, or what's the size of your bank account, or how are you going to measure your life in external ways? But you can't point to the people around you who love you, respect you, want to be around you. Then your life is wasted. God's called us to bring the presence of Jesus to the people we encounter. Sometimes we bring him to perfect strangers, but we can't forget we're commissioned to bring him into the lives of the people we love the most. What does a successful life look like? How do you know that you've done what you needed to do in loving other people? I love a description that Ken Geyer gave about how he wants the legacy of his life to be. When his life is done and he is gone, and the people who loved him are remembering him, this is what he said. He said, "What pictures will my son remember when he comes to the plain granite marker over his father's grave someday? What will my daughter remember, or my wife? What pictures will be left behind for them to thumb through in the nostalgic late afternoons of their lives? Will the pictures strengthen them for the journey, or send them hobbling through life crippled? I have resolved that I will give them fewer lectures, send fewer platitudes rolling their way, to give less criticism, to offer fewer opinions. After all, where does it say that a father has to voice an opinion on everything, or even have an opinion on everything? From now on, I'll strive to live to give them pictures they can live by. Pictures that can comfort them, encourage them, and keep them warm when I am absent. Pictures that will remind them of love and point them to the Savior. Of all I could give to make their lives a little fuller, a little richer, a little more prepared for the journey ahead of them, nothing compares to the gift of remembrance. Pictures that show they are special and that they are loved. Pictures that will be there when I am not. Pictures they have within them. Pictures that have within them a redemption all their own." That's a challenge, isn't it? Live every day of your life building a legacy of faith and encouragement and love and strength. God has given us a command: redeem the time. Make the most of every moment. Take a moment just this morning. Look back over the memories of your own life. Have you redeemed the time? Have you invested in the things that matter most? Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus? If not, it's not too late. Because the most important moment in redeeming the time is the very next moment. And there's always a chance to choose to do what honors Christ. You can change everything with a simple decision. From now on, I want every moment to count for the Savior. I want to redeem my time. Have you done that? This morning we celebrated the fact that Riggs redeemed his time when he gave his heart to Christ. Maybe today you're here, and that's exactly what you need to do. You're here as a lost person. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you've believed in God, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe today that's exactly what you need to do. You need to give your heart to Christ. Maybe you're here and part of redeeming the time in your life means it's time to plant yourself in a church family like this one, where people are going to love you and challenge you and encourage you and teach you the word and bless you. And today you need to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And you need to come and make it formal. Plant your membership in this place. Or maybe God is dealing with you on a very individual basis. And there's something you need to do to redeem the time. The moment is here. The choice has to be made. It's time to step out and honor Jesus. What decision do you need to make today? Just a moment, I'm going to be here at the front. We're going to be singing our hymn of invitation. Rich will be here. We would love to greet you, to meet you, to help you make that choice that matters most this day. Are you ready? Let's stand. Let's sing.